Brother Jay, to come in here, God bless you, man. I didn't want to come in here. I just look back there. I don't know. If you got a gift and I know you got one, I'm going to make you use it. Hallelujah. There's some other folk in here I need to give that mic to, so we're going to work on that too. Amen. Let's go to the book of Ephesians here. A couple of people looked at me at that moment like a deer in headlights. Like, don't give me a mic. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jay. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 is where we will rest ourselves today. In Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to go to verse number 14, really, and we're going to read down through verse number 21. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14, you have it. And I'm going to begin reading there. And this is what is written. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. I want you to consider these seven verses from the book of Ephesians, and I want you to just with me for a few moments as you look at me, just muster up all of the energy that you have inside of yourself. And I want you to recite these words with me. I want you to just say them with a sense of conviction. And say this with me: I've made it to the next level. Come on, say it one more time. I want you to have some excitement about yourself and say, I've made it to the next level. Now I want you to just, without touching anybody or getting close to anybody, just look in their direction and say, you've made it to the next level. Now remember, last week we were talking about being tested before we go to the next level. Now today, with some jubilance, clap your hands and say, I made it to the next level. I'm going to convince you before you leave this room to let you know, even if you weren't here last Sunday, you made it. You didn't even know you were on your way. But I want you to get excited. You might not know, but I'm preaching this. Just say, I made it to the next level. Preacher, if you don't raise your voice at me, if you don't holler at me, I made it to the next level. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if you get excited about that, you're going to go crazy over this. Hallelujah. I opened by saying that those of us who regard ourselves as evangelists, the preachers, the pastors, that we must be moved by the power of God in an anointing in order for us to present or to herald the word of God. In regards to the upperclassmen, theologians, and spiritual academic people, those that have gone on to make the study of the holy writings their occupation, those people and men without such an anointing, they can clinically and very intellectually dissect the word of God, and they can do so without an anointing. But if any person ever really tried to grasp the true essence of God's word, they will discover that what God has given in his word can only be grasped by the Spirit. We need the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit in order for us to understand certain things that the scriptures have given us. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our consciousness and our mental capacity in order to grasp and to understand the things that God have made available in his word. I believe that if I were the writer of a letter and you didn't quite understand my letter, it would seem that the best person that could tell you what I meant would be me. So it didn't matter how many people you ask or how you dissect it or how you intellectually try to tear it apart inch by inch. Still, the best person who could tell you what was meant in that letter was the person who wrote it. So of all of Paul's writing to various churches, Ephesus, Colossae, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth, as he wrote to people, Gentiles, Jews, Greeks, Persians, various nations of people, of all of his writings, the book of Ephesians stands out as one of the most profound of all of his writings. The profundity of this book is based primarily upon the fact that Paul draws our attention to the operation of God in the book of Ephesians. Unlike any other book that is written, he draws our attention to the operation of God. Much like on last Sunday, John, in his profoundness, has the ability to bring the writer not only into what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, but he also brings the reader into observing the actions of God. You had to not only hear him, but you had to see him. Likewise, Paul has the special giftedness to, in the book of Ephesians, to draw us into the attentiveness of how God is operating, and he shows us where God operates for us before we ever got here. Now that's going to be heavy right there. You're going to have to rest heavy on that. Paul wants us to see what God was doing for us before we ever arrived. And what he is saying is that there are certain things that have been done by God for us. And he did it for us before he kataboleed in the Greek, before he threw the world into place. He had already did so many things for us. before the earth was shaped, made, orchestrated, and created. Paul wants us to give attention to what God had already done for us. He had done so many things for us before we even got here. And it is true then that as we examine the Word of God, that all religions, and I'm becoming such a humanitarian and exercising the altruism, which is the love for all mankind, non-judgmental, regardless of what he says he believes in his religion, his race, creed, or his color. I have learned that all religions have their own concept of God in some kind of way. Some try and make an attempt to get to him through stone objects, Buddhism, various religions. But regardless of what a religion is, that is their concept of God. And each of them have to base their concept on the evidence of God's activity in the world. So why should I judge them wrong when at the end of the day, I'll say, that whatever their religion is, they still have to build it based on what God is doing in the entire world. And what I declare this is God's revelation to man. What God does in the world is what God is revealing to man. I want to pull a quote now from Paul Tillich. And Paul Tillich, the historian and theologian, says it this way, and I quote, that revelation must be given and revelation must be received, or else there is no revelation. End quote. Revelation must be given and revelation must be received. And if it's not given and received, then it is not revelation. If God gives it and I don't get it, then it is still no revelation. And I cannot get what God does not give me. The only way I can get it is if God gives it. And if God is the giver of revelation, it is not revelation to, number one, he gives it, and number two, I receive it. Once he gives it and I receive it, it is now the revelation of God. It's so shrouded now. As the writer says, it's kind of behind a fogged glass, covered and unclear. I know something is there, but I can't really bring it perspectively into focus. So it's so shrouded that I can't even think about what God has in store for me if God doesn't give it to me in my thought first. So have you ever felt like, I feel like something good is about to happen? Can't put my finger on it. Don't know what it is. Not sure where it's coming from. But I just feel like something good is about to happen. You're in the right place now. If you have the feeling that God is about to do something good, then that means that God is already on his way where you are. Because there is no way that you could have even had the thought of goodness unless he revealed it to you that goodness even exists. Oh, good God. So it's shrouded, but then God brings it to me in my thought, and then he makes it clear. Now, none of us in our finite humanity can move into the mind of God unless God moves into our mind first. Somebody resound me, invitation only. You cannot go into the mind of God unless God comes into your mind first. And once God goes into your mind, then you in turn can go into his mind. Now, the communication then of the will or the mind of God, that communication is called the word of God. What do you mean that I can go into the mind of God? Whenever God gives you his word, and you communicate back to God his word, you have now successfully entered into the mind of God. Because his will and his mind is all encompassed in his word. What is the will of God? It is his word. What is the mind of God? It is his word. What does God will for me to do? It is in his word. What is in the mind of God concerning me? It is in his word. Now, it is by the word of God that God communicates his mind and his will to us. And anytime there's communication of revelation that comes from God, that communique is called the word of God. And if there's going to be communication from God, then it's God who does the choosing. If we're going to get a word from God, believe me when I tell you, it's God's choice to give us a word. How many know about the silent years? From the book of, the last book in the Old Testament into the very first book in the Gospels. Is it not said that there was not heard anything from God? Imagine not hearing from God for days that turned to weeks, that turned to months, that turned to years. That's a bad feeling to not hear from God for such a long time. Now, God has to do the choosing of when he wants to communicate with us by his word. There is absolutely no way for man who is coming from the natural trying to get into the spiritual. There is no way for that to happen unless God initiates the contact. You see, you can't do God like you do if you're single now. Only if you're single, I'm about to say this. You can't do God like you do the young ladies. You can't just holler at him. You can't do God like you do the young man or the man when you see him. And I don't mean no offense by this. You can't just, you know, give him your number. God has to initiate the contact. Uh-huh. Let me put it to you this way, because I still think you don't fully have it. You didn't come to God when you decided that you wanted to surrender. It was God who moved on you first. Let me joggle your memory. You remember when you were that night? Yeah. Y'all know which night I'm talking about. The one that none of us know about but you. That night. When you decided that that's enough. You remember what you were doing when you said That's it. And you still can't figure out that night why you stop. You know, you in the midst of having fun. Yeah, remember, stop looking at me like you don't remember that time. That you just said, uh-uh, no, that's that. And others around you told you, come on, no, we just getting, y'all remember? You don't remember that? I'm not going to say it out loud, but you remember that. It was then that God initiated the contact, because there is no way that in your flesh a kingdom will stand divided against itself, and you were going to crash and burn that night unless God had have initiated the contact with you, and that's what told you that's enough. Can I go farther? The communication then must be initiated by God, and the communique must happen in an ordinary situation. I'm going to say that one more time. Don't look for God in all of the excitement. Elijah said, first there was an earthquake, shook. I knew God was in that, but God wasn't in it. Then Elijah said, there was a fire that was so hot and extreme that it just scorched the rocks. And I knew God was in that fire. There came a whirlwind that was like sandblasting that smoothed the rocks off. And I knew that God had to be in that. But he wasn't there. And then when all of that excitement, all of the clamor, all of the loudness, all of the energetic excitement ceased, Elijah said, then I heard a small, still voice. Somebody say ordinary. When all of the super stuff is over, then when you just get in the still of the moment. Yes, so in the ordinary situation, even though the action is extraordinary, God still makes his move when everything is just ordinary. So let me get right there and work. In the ordinariness of your everyday life. Now let me help you paint that picture. Getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth. Getting up every day, getting dressed for work. Getting up every day, preparing the meals, getting the kids ready to go to school. Every day while you're on your job, things going through your mind, trying to get the budget worked out. At the end of the day in your commute, traffic along the interstate held up. In the ordinariness of life, that's when God gives you an invitation for revelation. Oh my God. And when God gives you the invitation for revelation, somebody say, in the ordinariness, while everything is just plain old simple, then that's when God will do the supernatural. And that's when the supernatural is going to take place when everything else gets still. Take, for example, somebody asks you, what's happening at Nation's Harvest this Sunday? Uh-huh. And you say, we just going to have church. Are y'all with me? Then they say, y'all got anything special going on? And you say, no, just ordinary service. Like right about now. Over here in this section and in this section and in this section and in that section and over in that quarters. Just plain old ordinary service. But in that ordinary service, I just decided to come to church. God comes down that row. The one you sitting on. And he stops by your seat. And you said you wasn't going to tell. Because I'm just here for the ordinary service. But if God come down that row, and he says something to you, while I'm on the mic and God overrides my voice, he can do that with his voice, and says something to you while I'm still talking, and he says something to you like he's saying to somebody right now, he come down and you just sitting there in the ordinary service, and all of a sudden God blesses you with breakthroughs, and in your mind he blesses you with a sense of order, just what you've been waiting on, then you better believe that that ordinary service for you just turned into something that was extraordinary. He just did in the ordinariness of just a church service. Oh God. That's why sometimes you got to be careful who you sit by in the church service. Because if God comes down through there and he lays his hands on who you're sitting next to, you better believe they're not going to be able to maintain their composure. Oh, I know I'm preaching now. They're not going to be able to sit still. Said I wasn't going to clap my hands. Said I wasn't going to stand on my feet. But really, when I think about it, where I'm sitting right now, and I think on the goodness of Jesus. I know this is just an ordinary service. But let me tell you, y'all can't tell it. Let me tell it all that he has done for me. See, somebody, that right there. See what I'm saying now? I said I wasn't going to bob my head. Said I wasn't going to stomp my feet. But then, see, it's not me. It's not the organist. It's not the drummer. But when God comes down through there, can I take you farther? You see, the doctrine of revelation has traditionally been developed as the doctrine of the Word of God. Because wherever there is a revelation, there has to be a word from God. Can I work right here? Now, the Word of God has different meanings. Stay with me now. The Word is the principle. In one meaning, it is the principle of the divine manifestation in the source of being itself. The Word. The Word is a divine manifestation. The Word is the manifestation that is divine in the source of being itself. Which means that the Word of God is that out of which everything was created. If God is going to reveal himself, in order for him to reveal himself, he has to create something to reveal himself to. Stay with me now. If God were by himself, because somebody didn't get that clear about him coming down that aisle, I'm going to work it another way. I'm coming in. You see, if God is going to reveal himself, in order for him to reveal himself, he first has to create something to reveal. Are y'all with me? If God were by himself and he knows who he is, but he wants somebody else to know him, if he's by himself, well, nobody else can know him unless he creates somebody else. So now the power by which he creates is known as the Logos. That's the same as saying the Word. Now it's called the Logos. It's known as the Logos, and the Logos is the principle of divine self-manifestation. In other words, the Word of God was with God. Are you with me? And the Word was God. Are y'all with me? And the Word was made flesh. Now God creates with his Word. And if you'll note farther, you will see all things were what? Created by him. Because in order for him to reveal, he's got to create something. Come on, somebody say that with me. If he's going to reveal, he has to create something that's able to receive his knowledge. Because if there is not, if it's not given by God and received, then it's not revelation. Now, if I'm going to reveal, I've got to create. Because I've got to have something to receive what I reveal. Can I take it farther? You see, you're going through some stuff right now. Everybody in here, some more and some less. If you're going through something, raise your hand. Now put it back down. See, I saw it before you got it up. You're going through something. Everybody is going through something. I see a young man about 7, 8 years old. He got his hand up. He's going through something. He just started school, and there's a teacher that he already know. We're going to have a problem. There's some things about getting up in the morning with having to get ready this early to get on the bus or to go. We're going to have some problems. Look, everybody's going through something. Am I right? Because God chooses to reveal himself. And unless he sets it up, that's what he's doing, Jay. When you go through something, God is setting it up. You would never know who he is if he didn't set up the situation. I'm right there now. So what he does is he sets up the situation for the revelation. Now. Nothing just randomly happens. Now, let me use myself for an example. Now, how many times do I want to get into it with my wife? None. No, you want to keep her happy. If you're a husband, come on, nod your head with me if you don't do nothing else. You want to keep her happy, right? Yes, you want to keep her happy. Now, chances of that happening always, it ain't going to be. You stay with me right there. Now, sometime, God can take the situation that you get yourself into, and he can use that for revelation. Now that you messed up, now he didn't mess it up. Who messed it up? You did. But what I'm going to show in your situation, I'm going to come in with a fresh revelation. And I'm going to get you out of this through what I show you that you must do next. Come on, somebody. So now he sets up a situation for revelation so that he might reveal himself in whatever it is you're going through. Can I go back and talk to that young man one more time who raised his hand because he said he was going through something? It's going to be some mornings. It's going to be hard to get up and get going. But for every time you find it difficult to get them clothes on and get ready to go to school every day, that's God's opportunity to show you, you can do it. You can make it. This too will pass. I got your back. Come on and let's go. So go ahead and know that God is with. Oh my God, I don't know why y'all not getting this. Every time he reveals himself, what he's doing is, y'all get ready now, he's taking you through to another level. So whenever a situation presents itself, I see lights coming on now. It's not bad like you think it is. Other folks make you think it's bad because what God is showing you is things will go south. Things will go bad. But in this situation, I'm right here with you. And every time God allows the situation to come your way, what he's doing is he's getting ready to take you to another level. I'm almost there. So what? Oh my God. I need somebody. Joseph, that'll work right there. You see, Joseph, I know your brothers turn their backs on you. Not one of them, but every one of them. And every one of them got together to launch an attack on you. And sometimes we catch it the worst from family. Who I need to talk to right here? Sometimes we don't need enemies when we got family. Yeah, you know how it is. And Joseph had brothers who got upset, angry, frustrated, aggravated, intimidated by him, and they tossed him in the well. Now somebody say, that's a bad situation. But let me go ahead and concise that story. If going in the well is going to take me from the pit to the palace, I need somebody, please push me. If going in the well is going to get me up out of some of these hardships that I'm going through, I need you, please. Go ahead and just tip me over. Come here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wasn't going to call them, but now, since I'm calling folks, I may as well call some more folks. Let me tell you, sometimes the heat of life is really turned on. Have you ever had one of those days in your life? I'm not talking about that Alabama sultry, humid heat, but I'm talking about the heat of life. When everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Have you ever had one of those days? Car won't start, children won't act right, boss getting on your nerves, come on somebody, bill collectors calling about stuff that you already told them, I worked that out with you. Have it ever been turned up when you got this issue with your health and all of this, when hell starts to rise? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh king, live thou forever. But the God that I serve, even in this fiery furnace. So y'all can hear me today. The situation that looks bad is God's opportunity to reveal himself. Because if there were no fiery furnace, there could not have been a deliverance. If there were no well to throw Joseph in, he would have never made it to Potiphar's house. Y'all don't hear me. So now I want you to go back over your life and start thinking about all of the things that you've had to go through. Some bad relationships. You've had some bad incidents. And I want you to say, God, that was you all the time. And every time you took me through what I went through, you were taking me to another level. Y'all don't hear me. Because until you've been tried by the fire, there is no way that you can come forth as pure gold. Oh Lord. Until the devil has ran roughshod in your life, you will not know that your faith will sustain you. Mm-hmm. So now, I've got to work a little bit more here. And then, can I take my time a little bit more? Because if I rush it right there, you won't get the whole word. So, you see, the word then was God. And in spite then of the abysmal character of God, he still is a logical God. It says the word was God. Now God, you who are extreme and endless, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, you who are so abysmal, you now have brought yourself into logic. Because if you are now the word, that means when I can't understand infinity, I can understand a word in time. My God. So now you're so big, you had to reduce yourself so that I could comprehend. Somebody say that's called the Logos. So now he contains his own self-manifestation. But what he did was he made himself a single word. So now when I speak a word in a situation, watch this now, I'm speaking God in that situation. When I speak a word, because God is the word. I ain't gonna cut no corners. I got to make the whole round here. I messed this up. You see, whenever you speak a word from God in your situation, God is now in the situation. I cannot speak his word and apply it to the situation without applying God in the situation. So whenever I speak his word over it, I just spoke God over it. When I speak a word over my children, I've just spoken over my children, because I can't separate God from his word, because he is the word.
Now, when I speak a word to my heart, I've just spoken God in my heart. So you know what I tell my heart? Peace, be still. And let me tell y'all something. When I speak that in my heart, now God is in my heart. I'm no longer on the sinus arrhythmia. I am now on, oh my God, the divine power of God. So now he is regulating every beat of my heart. Come on, somebody. That's why he says, so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I need somebody to speak over their self right now. Speak to your own heart. Don't wait for nobody to pray for you. And I want you to say these words: peace, be still. In spite of all of my bills, peace, be still. In spite of how contrary my sons and my daughters are. Come on, you gotta speak over yourself. See, I told y'all before we leave here, you're gonna be on the next level. I'm trying to preach you on the next level. I'm trying to urge you to come to the next level. Go ahead now and think about the problems you have. Speak over yourself. Encourage yourself and say to yourself, peace, be still. Now, when that happens, somebody gonna look at you like you done lost your mind. Because they're saying, how are you handling it like that when you're going through all of that? Well, what they don't know has been revealed to you, but not to them. Oh, Lord. So now that brings me to the next point about revelation. The revelation of God has to be between God giving it and the person receiving it. But what God reveals to you, he may not reveal to who you're living with. So while you got peace in yourself, everybody else upset, broke up, broke down, locked up and shut up in their own misery. But you need to tell them, I'm not going to accompany your misery, because the joy of the Lord, come on somebody, is my strength. Now I need you to go ahead and say this: ain't nobody mad but the devil. While you mad, oh God, I've got peace in my heart. Come on somebody, go ahead and let the peace of God pump, because you cannot separate God from his word. Now I need you to get this. So now the word is bridged between the eternal, abysmal, absolute infinity of God and the physical, tangible, temporary world that we know. So now what God does in all of his absolute infinity, in all of his eternal power, in all of his abysmal existence, what God does is he tips across the bridge that is called time. That's him now. He comes across time from all of his power and comes into the physical, tangible, terrestrial world from the celestial heavens. He comes down and see about us. Are y'all hearing me? Why? So that's why every time that I'm faced by a challenge, all I want you to know is I hear God coming at me with the word. So now I've got some challenges that's on its way. But I need the challenge to know that while you're on your way, God is on his way, because I hear a word coming across time. Y'all don't hear me. Yes, because without his word, I cannot have no faith. Oh God, somebody got that and somebody didn't. Now faith faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh Lord. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So without his word, I don't have no faith. Oh Lord. So I hear people boasting about faith, but they don't have a word. But somebody say, it's by his word that I have my faith, and the word stimulates my faith to believe in God who has presented the word. That is why we say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can somebody say yes? So when we come to understand the relationship between the revelatory power of God and the word of God, it has to be the word in order for it to be revealed, then we'll also understand that God has not hidden his plan from us. Oh Lord, I need somebody to get ready. Come on and clap your hands. Get ready right here. Oh Lord. Yeah, the relationship between me and God is that his word is now understood. Oh Lord. And now I know his plans for me. Oh yes. So let me work a while right here. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel is hid, it's only hidden from the unbeliever. If I have faith, then I know what God's plan is for my life. I've got news for you. If you're sitting here, if you're standing here, if you're listening to the word that I'm preaching right now, then God has already had a serious conversation with you. Oh Lord. The reason I know is because he told you, get up out of your bed, put your clothes on, and go down to that church house. And when you get there, I'm gonna tell you something about what's about to come to pass. Do y'all hear me? So what did you do? You got up and you got ready. Now tell your neighbor, I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to pacify you. I'm not here for you to see me or for me to see you. The only reason I'm here is because the Lord got me up early this morning. Early this morning. And when I got up, he started me on my way. Oh yes. Now tell somebody, I am here because his word brought me here. His word. Oh sucks y'all. Oh yeah. That's why when you ask somebody, come on and go to church, they don't show up. That's why they're never there. But when the Lord, when the Lord, oh yeah, when the Lord, when he gets ready, somebody say he'll move you. Won't he move you? Oh, won't he move you? Trying to get husband, trying to get wife to line up, trying to get son, trying to get daughter to line up. They won't line up. They won't show up. Oh Lord, all you gotta do is just speak the word and let God reveal to them. I've got news for you. Your son is on his way. Your daughter, she's on her way. How do I know? Because I spoke the word. And when I speak it, then that's God's plan. I speak those things that be not. as though they were the manifestation of his power, says that when I say it, I speak it into existence. Oh Lord, but I can't say it if he don't give it. And when I say it, I don't have to premise with these words. The Lord said, all I got to do is just say it. I'm not going to try to convince you what God said about me, but I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field, I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed coming in. Somebody say, yeah, I know that God's plan for my life is goodness. Oh Lord, she is. Come on y'all, shout for a minute. Come on and shout. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 I know it's not your birthday. I know it's not your anniversary. I know ain't nothing special about August the 15th, but all of a sudden I got an epiphany. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I can celebrate now because you just made it to the next level. You just made it. You just made it. You just made it. Come on everybody, get on your feet. Those at home, get on your feet. God just brought you into the next level. Somebody say, yeah. How do I know? Because tomorrow, Monday the 16th, everything ain't gonna be all right. Everything, it is all right. Somebody say, all right. Already, already, it's all right. Tuesday, August the 16th, all right. Already, Wednesday, August the 19th, all right. Already, if you came with them, if you rode in the car with them, if you live in the same house with them, give them high five. Come on, we can praise him and social distance.